I'm going to speak more about it tomorrow morning. I'm going to walk through in more explicit visuals of my journey. And what I've noticed is, especially since 2012, the spectacular growth of quants. And everyone's so focused on high-frequency trading is bad, high-frequency trading is bad. And I'm going to share with you, it's high-frequency research. It's the capacity to read a 10K for the past 5 years and compare the numbers in a minute. There is no fundamental analyst, even if that's all you did was follow that stock and turn around and look for the words that were not in that 10K from the previous quarter for the MD&A, for any discussion, financial ratios, etc. And I know that I spoke at 3 years ago at the World at Denver Gold Show, which is the premier institution for where all the institutions around the world go for talk about gold. And I tried to articulate there's something happening in their world, and they were all wondering how can Eldorado fall 27% in 1 hour from a press release. Like, how can analysts go and do their models? What was in that press release which would make the stock fall 27%? Well, Barry Cooper, 15 years ago, did a piece of research of looking at 200 and some odd companies that if they had these words in their title, seven different types of press releases, and if they were negative, then he bet the order that it took 2 weeks for those stocks to fall 27%. So it was an exhausting piece of research. It took him over a year with a junior working on it full-time to go back and do this sort of regressional study. And the quants do it in 1 minute. That's the difference. So Eldorado had words in their headline that immediately crushed the stock because they don't just turn around and look at my portfolio, they'll sell it. It didn't have that much of exposure in the ETFs. They weren't selling Eldorado. The gold fund managers didn't have enough time to do the analysis. Who the hell knocked it down 27%? And it's quant funds. And that data, rather than taking 2 weeks to all of a sudden, by the time we used to read the research reports, do the comparisons, and then put the ticket in the cell, it all happens because they've been able to identify semantics, words, word choice and patterns, and they immediately short. Then they cover. Their attention span, or the gamma of their trade and their research, runs between 3 hours and the maximum week. They're leveraged on average 8 times. So the other thing that's really hurting the trading of stocks is the dark pools. And that's what they call Bitcoin and the dark net, but dark pools. And these pools are where institutions do not want to be shown that they're buying and selling. And 40% of all blocks are traded and you don't see them on the New York Stock Exchange. So your liquidity is being morphed. And it's a combination of regulations, and only those who come up with technology can survive to thrive. And so I've been writing about it. I got frustrated with the gold end. I created a quant-based ETF called Go Gold. This is a New York Stock Exchange. I listed also called GoGo, ticker for Toronto. And what's interesting is based on 8,000 hours of quantitative analytics of what works, what doesn't, up cycle, down cycle, that I did a calculation that I can outperform the GDXJ 92% of the time on rolling 12-month periods. 92%. Since I launched it, that's what it's done. Do you think my actual gold analysts that work for me want to turn around and use some of those factors? Oh, no. They are all feeling comfortable with their net present value to discount book value, which the quant funds don't use. So if you want to follow money flows, they will dictate most of your up and down drafts in stocks or a sector and industry. It's all money flows. ETFs have allowed you to be able to analyze money flows much better. And so therefore, you can pick a great stock, but you need to have the wind hit your sail. So this sort of evolution of launching a couple quant-based ETFs, I launched JETS, which done exactly what it was said it would do. It would outperform the New York Stock Exchange Global Airlines Index, and it's done it because of the quant discipline to it. But it has to be dynamic. It has to recalibrate every quarter to make it happen. So along comes this opportunity called Goldspot. And it just really tickled me because I said, finally, here's a company that is applying AI to the space and taking all that data that's out there that a geologist, and I know this from athletes, and I'm going to tell you what these are super athletes. Great athletes like Rod Carew, for those old guys in the room can remember the baseball player, he could read your name on a baseball coming at him at 100 miles an hour. It moved in slow motion for him. For you or I, missed it. For him, it was in slow motion. Wayne Gretzky with hockey was the same way. They also found with athletes like Michael Jordan, their peripheral vision. And Wayne Gretzky, like, I can see my hands here. They could put their hands back this far and they can see them. So they could turn around and see another player coming. They could see a ball coming or a puck coming that I cannot physically see. Goldspot can do that by looking at data. So the great geologists, and there's very few that actually can take four sets of maps and different types of sciences behind those maps and overlay them to find a sweet spot. They can do 50. And that's where the change is going to be. And so I became really enamored with it. And so rather than going hired analysts that want to turn around and look at price to book value ratios and et cetera, that miss the whole idea where money is going and how it moves stocks today, what do? Is that they have to turn around and embrace this new technology. And they're slow. And they're slow in every industry. It's another reason why active managers is contracting. There's not that many really passionate people like Marin Katusa. You know, Marin eats, sleeps, and breathes this stuff. Usually when we get a chance, we're earlier, we go for a run, and all we do is talk, socks up, socks down, up the hill, down the hill, socks. And it's so refreshing because his energy is contagious. And that's what's so important. And Denny, the CEO and basically the brains behind putting Goldspot along with CJ over here and Vince, he has good energy, he has the passion, and he has technical skills, but he has the passion to embrace this new technology. And the other thing that really blew me away before they speak is what's happening in Montreal. There's an Israeli professor that really dominated bringing a cottage industry. This happens in Texas, in Fort Worth, that the Bass Brothers created a huge hedge fund industry. And many of those traders left to set up their own funds, and then they left again. And so you have this massive hedge fund complex in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, all because of one person. Two brothers, actually. And so now what's happening in Montreal is that these PhDs, they do not want to go to Seattle where they can make 2 to 3 times the amount of money. They don't want to go to New York. They love their lifestyle. And there they are in Montreal, and Microsoft is building, I think it's 5,000, Vince, is it? It's something like five. They're going to build the campus there rather than try to phone them up. I know that when Bill Gates was the CEO of Microsoft, he phoned every year the top 5 people from Waterloo that graduated computer science engineers. He personally phoned them to try to get them to come to Microsoft. That's how great Waterloo University is. So now this sort of is very dominant, the AI business in Toronto, and so out of nowhere is Montreal, and it's becoming very significant, and that's where Goldspot has 9 PhDs, and they're all young. They're passionate with what they do. They look at the world differently. They have PhDs in tectonic plate shifts and can apply Monte Carlo simulation to just geological data, whatever. I can give you all these buzzwords, but it's just a lot of math, a lot of physics, a lot of crunching, and they do it so instantaneously, but they also have geoscience background. So I think I'd like to turn this over to the story of Goldspot, why I put money into it, why I became the chairman, is because I believe this AI world is going to change everything. And for the better. So Denny?
Thanks, Frank, for that tremendous introduction. So we are Goldspot Discoveries, and I'll give you a little bit of a background on how this all came together. I was working at Pine Tree Capital. Pine Tree, as many of you may know, or may not know, because it doesn't really exist anymore. We had over 400 investments in the junior mining space. I was the only technical person on staff. I was the only person that looked at deposits, flew around the world, had a look at everything, met with teams. Prior to that, it was with Kirkland Lake Gold, Lakeshore Gold in Timmins, Gold Corp in Red Lake, and I had a discovery in West Africa. I decided to try the capital markets, and I was a little bit disappointed when I got there. At Pine Tree, I recognized that the industry kind of operated as a herd mentality, followed the jockeys, which there's for good reason. You know, that's a total strategy that does work, and I'll get to that in a minute. But a lot of the technical, you know, components, the fundamental analysis went out the window. And I thought, you know, with an industry so ripe with data, we've got to be doing something different. We've got to create a different type of company, a company that takes an active role in investing, M&A, putting land packages together, looking at the world around us and seeing what's the best recipe for success. I came across a group, actually CJ and I both, came across a group that was led by Vincent in the Institute of National Research in Quebec City, where they were all geoscientists, but with one sole focus, and that was to you know, bring data science and data science solutions like machine learning and AI into the mining space. And to me, that was it. That was the recipe. Finally, we had a way to analyze all of this data that we've spent so much money collecting. And a little bit of an example of the power of data and how it's so valuable. Colin just got up and spoke about a great project in Nevada. We actually staked that project. I staked it in the desert with Cal. And you know, we started off looking at every single claim in the entire state of Nevada from 1978 until today. The claim history, as claims were staked, dropped, how much money was spent on them. We couldn't get all the data, but we could see little tiles, if you will, across the entire state of Nevada, and as land was, you know, accumulating and getting distributed, and where larger companies like Pinson Mining and Cameco and all these different companies were, you know, meeting, and then all of a sudden you'd have them, you know, drop their claims but retain small portions. So Nevada's very secret data-wise. It's very hard to get data in Nevada. It's not like most other jurisdictions in the world. And so here we are, intersection of Battle Mountain and Getchell, T-junction between two major geological districts, and there's got to be potential, so we staked it for gold. And all of a sudden, we got the data. I think it was a little over a year ago, Colin, if I'm mistaken, a year and a half ago, we got the data from Miranda Gold that happened to have the Newmont database and all that. And in the data, there's where we saw the vanadium. So today, that's a $75 million data discovery. It was staked for gold. It still has a gold shot, absolutely, at depth, but it was a data discovery. And so the power of data in our space, there's so much data available, and we haven't even begun to tap into it. And here at Goldspot, that's what we're dedicated to doing. So a little bit about Goldspot. I'll skip through the forward-looking statement because we've all seen those there. But artificial intelligence and its ability to analyze multiple variables at the same time. So basically, to put it in a nutshell, AI, machine learning, it's all kind of synonymous, but in the end, basically what you're looking at is tons of layers of data simultaneously. You're teaching a computer to analyze all those layers of data with an example of a deposit, an example of something it should be looking for. And it finds a recipe in all that in those layers that equals that deposit, and then we ask it, where do we see that recipe or the various components of that recipe reemerging in the data set? And that's really the power of machine learning. A human can only look, as Frank mentioned, at four layers at one time. We can only think in four dimensions. You can only look at four graphs laid on each other and look for a pattern or a correlation. A computer does not have that limitation. It can look at millions. And so here we are in an industry where we've spent more money than ever before. And we talk about peak gold. Well, you know, it's really actually peak discovery. We're spending huge amounts of money collecting data. The industry has. We are very quick to adapt new technologies, remote sensing technologies, MAG, IP, 3D IP, all these super sophisticated technologies. And the industry was spending this money, and no, we were not finding deposits with it because deposits were getting deeper and deeper and harder to find. But we were still collecting the data, and the data's there. It's right there for us, ripe for us to pluck and analyze. And a lot of this data is three-dimensional, multivariate data. Because industry experts were, you know, not so sharp with their computer skills, we had to simplify that data into the nice two-dimensional color maps that so many of us have seen before, put in front of us, you know, a mag high, a mag low, look at this purple blob, and I think there's another purple one over here that's got a shot. I mean, you're taking something that's 3D multivariate data, and it's being leveled into a two-dimensional color map product, simplified to a point where somebody can take it and put it on a light table with everything else that they have. So we're really not doing justice to the data. And where today, with machine learning and all the computing power that we have at our fingertips, we can actually, for once, unlock the value of that data. So Goldspot's focused on a few things, revenue-generating services, doing work for Hochschild, McEwen Mining, Sprott Mining, Yamana, Grand Columbia, many more to come. We also do a lot of education as well in the space, teaching people how to use AI machine learning tools, Python, that sort of stuff, training sessions. We get asked all the time by big companies, some of the biggest mining companies in the world, call us in and say, hey, we've got a problem. Can you help us fix it? And we've got a data science team. Can you help us work with this to get to this goal? So, you know, this space, everyone's waking up to this. And really, what we've built here is not a special technology. It's not anything other than a really, really bright group of people and a whole bunch of really unique tools that no one's ever built before for the space. You know, we load a lot of that stuff on GitHub, right? But it's kind of like a race car. If you don't know how to drive it, can get you into trouble. So resource quantum metal is something we've been focused on. We've been building this for over 3 years. It's the largest aggregate of mining data in the world. We've basically scraped every shred of data available, all the capital markets data, management information, you name it, we know it. If you've drilled anything, trenched anything in the last 25 years, chances are we've got it in our data set. If you're a management team, we can tell you how much money you've generated for your shareholders, how much you've lost for your shareholders, how much money you've raised in the last 6 months, 2 months, 2 days. We're tracking absolutely everything in all commodities in this space, and that's giving us a unique perspective on the space and allows us to play it in a way that's different from everybody else. We heard a lot of negativity here today about the lack of capital, increasing regulations, and just a lot of, you know, BS and red tape that gets in the way of the junior companies being able to discover and get the capital they need to do that. With Goldspot, we've come up with a new mousetrap, so we're a different kind of company. We're looking to put our investments on strategic sniper shot investments that we've picked out to be the pound for pound best opportunities in the space, and we've brought one of them here today with us, Manitou Gold. The guys are here. We invested $580,000 in February in that deal. And we're helping them to find targets, which has been quite a successful mission. But we're looking to allocate our money into these companies. We're looking to secure a royalty to give our shareholders exposure and offer them the tremendous upside that discovery presents, as well as build an equity portfolio in companies and basically build up leverage to a rising market if one ever comes. But we don't necessarily need one to be doing a good job right now. So mineral deposits form for a reason. Machine learning is able to link the reason to available geoscience data to understand the relationships. With the relationships, we can predict mineralization in new zones. So this is the type of data we work with. We got the mineral occurrences, the faults, the geology, the geochemistry, the geophysics, satellite data, topography, spatial data. We look at everything from a provincial scale right down to a minute property scale. We look at everything in two-dimension, three-dimension. Whatever data, shred of data we can get our hands on, we get it. We bring all this together, give us some insight, and we try to advise our clients and our partners on where they're most likely to find mineralization. And we use machine learning in multiple steps of that process, whether it's right at the end to combine all these layers of data together and make predictions on where mineralization is most likely to occur, or whether it's simply analyzing geophysical data to highlight and isolate one particular rock type that happens to be conducive to mineralization, and that's the magic bullet for that property. So we'll use machine learning to analyze, say, a geophysical data type to fingerprint a rock type and see if we can find more of that rock. So there's many, many ways for us to use this technology. Here's an example of some local scale targeting. This is a project that we got involved in, and as you can see on the right, the number of rock codes that we were inundated with. This is not atypical in the space. Over three vintages of exploration, you've had probably 30 to 40 geologists call the same rock five, six different codes, names, descriptions. So a big job and a big task for us is to get involved in that data set and simplify it. So we look to see where we can put apples and apples together and oranges and oranges together and go from, you know, 26 rock codes and a model that makes no sense down to, eight rock codes and a model that makes perfect sense. So it's all about getting, in some cases, simplifying the data set and not working with too much. Up on the top left here, you'll see a map of in a district that we heard about today that was operated by Goldcorp in Argentina. And basically, we came up with a vein prediction model for this mining operation where we were able to pick out where veins occur and are most likely to occur and drill those things. Complex structural models, putting structures together in three dimension, which a lot of people would like to do and they envision in their minds, but they don't take the time to do. I'll skip ahead because I'm running short on time. I'll take you through our Sigma Lamac project, which is actually where I discovered Vane San and his team. This is basically what it looks like. Hopefully we can see it on the screen. We're overlaying all of this data in three dimension, whether it's the drilling data, the alteration data, generating new alteration models for the various alteration types, mineralization, veining, all of that. And we really bring all of these different worlds together. Once we have all of that data screened, cleaned, aggregated, and modeled, we bring in all of the structural complexity, things like that. We get everything tidied up. And then we overlay basically a 3D cloud of grid points. Every grid point has a whole bunch of multitude of factors. And basically from there, we use machine learning to decide, okay, out of the grid, which points point us into the common denominator between where mineralization exists and where there's no drilling or no deposits. So the predictive model would look something like this. In this case, it was actually quite successful. We analyzed this deposit. We found some extensions, basically, of the known mineralization, highlighted a few new trends, and El Dorado was able to drill those holes, actually, before Integra actually drilled some of them, and made two new discoveries on the backs of this work. So this is something pretty cool that we've built, and because we're here at Jekyll Island, I'm just going to jam through and try to show you a bunch of cool stuff that we're working on. But essentially, we've been working on clustering of geophysical data to basically analyze geophysical data. It's using cloud computing. It's very, very, very computationally intensive. But essentially, we can take a raw geophysical data set and create a very, very high detailed geological map with that data. It doesn't look like the most impressive process. But as the computer iterates and goes through its iterations and figures it out, it basically comes up with the optimum number of categories, the optimum number of rocks, and the highest confidence in what it's doing. Our job was then to add labels to those rocks, so we actually went ground truthed it. We visited, we took a little dinghy, went through some rivers and mapped the riverbanks. We mapped whatever few outcrops we could actually find and started to add labels to the rocks. Here you'll see a section of some black stuff, and this is basically a gabbro, a layered intrusive, and the black stuff turned out to be alteration mineralization. So we're very, very, in some places, not all of them, but what was different is the computer couldn't find a box to fit that black part into, so it just created another category that just sort of doesn't fit with any other category, and in our business that's called an anomaly, which is good. This is a map of the regional geology map from the government of Newfoundland on the left for the same area. Very, very low detail, almost impossible for geologists to do any meaningful work with. And here's our map on the right. So this is a little bit about capital markets, resource quantamental, bringing all these layers of data together and some of the insight that's gained in doing this. Here you see basically a time snap of all of the insiders and all of their connections in the space. This is every insider in the mining business, management member, anybody who's filing as an insider or as a management team member. And basically, we're mapping their connections. Who's playing with who? What are the different factions in the space? And it's so so informative to look at this type of data and derive some conclusions from it, because you can basically analyze something, see a deal, and see all the connections that are available to that deal and how many of those have been satisfied. It's a very neat way to be looking at the people in the space. So this is really neat. This is kind of a transect over time from bull market to bear market. And what you see is these, we started off with a very, very big lump of people that were all interconnected, and that was in a bull market. I wish I could play it again. But essentially, over time, it breaks up into all these little factions. And so that's what's happened in our existing bear market, is that, you know, there's a lot less money flowing around, and people are playing in their own deals. This is nickel financings. We've done this for every commodity, but basically we're visualizing the data. This is a world map. It's hard to see here on this image, on the screen with the lighting. But basically it's a world map, and it shows you a highlight of every single financing event, when it happens, where it happens, and how much was raised, how much money was closed on that. And so that's really interesting, to just mapping out the flows of money in the space by commodity. And we did it for every commodity. So really, it's about building the smartest money. Here's some takeaways from some of the stuff we do with the insider stuff, as well as the financings and the connectedness. Anyway, we mapped out, you know, on an individual company basis, what their pricing score was, how successful they were, what the, you know, what's the track record of their investments? Have they been successful? Have their investments gone up? What's their ability to finance? How much money have they been raising? As well as their connectedness, how many other deals out there are they connected to? So yeah, so over time you can sort of see Osisko in 2015, 2016, and basically the pricing score is the blue line, the financing score, and their connectedness score. These are the types of, you know, bringing variables together to create new and engineer new features that can be used to analyze companies, analyze people, and analyze money patterns in the space that currently are not being utilized. So, in summary, investors don't need another exploration gamble. They need a new way to play the mining space. And at Goldspot, what we've tried to do here is to bring the worlds together. We're trying to bring that technical analysis, the geological analysis, together with capital markets analysis to create a vehicle for investment, a vehicle that plays the mining market in a totally different way. We've obviously ripped a page out of a lot of different companies' books, but we think we've created a fairly special formula here that's going to transform the industry. And as as time comes, the industry is going to change. The way money comes in and out of the space, the types of companies that will be investing, brokers you know, of today will not be the brokers of the future. And we're hopefully creating a story here that speaks to a new generation of investor. And something that they can, you know, wrap their minds around. AI playing the mining space is, you know, somewhat better than going and trying to pick their favorite juniors. And so hopefully we're going to attract a lot of capital into our company as a de facto investment for resources. Go ahead. Right. So, I mean, to answer both of those questions, the first being the competition, universities, and other people entering the space, I think what we've been able to do here is aggregate a team of close to 30 people now, 10 PhDs on staff. It's a very, very niche space. And what we've got is we've got a multidisciplinary team that works together. So we have a geophysicist. We actually have four geophysicists that all have a firm understanding of data science and machine learning, coupled up with structural geologists that have the same. And so our structural geologists, our geophysicists, our geochemists, we're all on the same page, we're working together, we're sharing ideas. What happens is if you start to partition various disciplines out of that, and you lose that connectiveness, it won't be as effective. We learn that time and time again as we've evolved going through project from project to project. It's never perfect, and we get better on every project we do. But I can say a good barrier of entry to the market is really the team that we've been able to build. We are leaders in the space, and I think for anyone to try to replicate what we've done, they'd have to, you know, fly through a lot of the same jump through a lot of the same hoops and scrape their knees up and all that to get there. Yeah, so the analog to digital sometimes we do ourselves depending on how much the volume is. Yeah, we might. We might have to. And so we've also developed a lot of interesting tools to scan analog data and use OCR, which is like image recognition, to pick out numbers, digits, and things with a very low error rate. So we've been able to scrape data very effectively, a lot of analog data. But if the database is way too big, say, and we can't do it alone, there's other groups out there that's all they do, is convert analog data to digital format. Once it's in a digital format, we can do things with that data that no one else can do. Yeah, well, I mean, database integrity is a big thing. Data integrity is a big thing. So a lot of the time when we're talking about certain variables, so you'll be looking at variables that, you know, are unreliable versus variables that are reliable. Example, we worked on a project in Nevada where the geologist was logging decalcification. I went to site. I said, I want to see 10 chips of what decalcification looks like. In a chip sample, there's been over 50 geologists that have logged this. I had a look. I can't see the difference between decalcified rock and calcified rock in a chip. Therefore, that decalcification classifier is not something I have a high amount of faith in. Versus, say, Realgar, where it's bright orange, it's obvious, and so that's something I have the confidence that even the most high, drunk junior geologist, or whatever you want to say, whatever Marin was saying, would be able to pick out bright orange mineral in the rock. And so that becomes something that I have a high confidence in. And so, yeah, through this process, we do lose a lot of data. We do throw a lot out. But by and large, we're working with data sets that have so much to offer that, you know, to throw a few layers out here and there, it's not a big deal if they're not competent. Okay, that's it. I've been axed. Thank you very much.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?